Welcome to The Author Show, where we feature new authors and books, from fiction to self-help and everything in between. You'll find it all at theauthorshow.com. That's theauthorshow.com. And now let the show begin.
Hello and welcome back to the show. This is your host, Don McCauley. Today we're welcoming a program author, Joseph Gansey, and he is the author of Gideon, The Sound and the Glory. Joseph, how are you?
Good. Thank you for calling.
Well, tell us a little bit about yourself, please.
Well, I was born at a very early age, and I'm from Brooklyn, New York. Originally moved out to Long Island, grew up out on the island, and have traveled, live now in Texas, Space City, they call it, Houston. Love Texas. It's kind of a man state.
So tell us about your book.
The book. It's really quite toward the force. The readers will really get a lot out of it. Anyone who's ever read the Bible will find this intriguing. Consider that the Bible is probably the template of our Western culture. It's the most read book in the world. And here's an attempt to personalize a small segment of it. Everyone knows Gideon's name, and nobody knows Gideon.
So who did you write your book for specifically?
My granddaughter, she was 9 at the time, and she said, "Papa, you got to write a book." And I said, "Well, people have told me that what I don't know could fill a book," kidding around with her. She helped me a little bit as a fifth grade proofreader. So I tried to keep the text and the concepts and the language down to a fifth grader. So I would say that a good minimum age would be 14 years old and up, would be able to perceive or understand, comprehend, and gain a benefit from the work included in that novel. So anyone who's ever read the Bible will benefit it. Anyone who hasn't ever read the Bible would read this and say, "Oh, gee, because of the drama. You know, if I knew this was in the Bible, I would go to it." And the scriptorians who read it constantly and study it will wonder, "How did this guy fit? Where did he get this stuff?" So it's pretty exciting considering how the reader is going to react to this information that they thought they knew but had never seen before.
Now, could you say there's any type of central message or perhaps underlying theme that you could say runs throughout your book?
The book is broken down into 5 parts. That's one of the reasons why no one's ever written his story before, because there wasn't enough story to write. So I broke it down into 5 parts. The common theme was Gideon, of course. That's the name. He's a central character. And his was about, originally, he's a man of a low self-esteem. And finally, by trusting in God, but it took a monumental effort, he became a mighty man of valor. That is one of the takeaways in the book. He traveled by faith and not by bread. The first part actually started with one word. At the end of Judges 8, Gideon has the 2 Midian kings in custody by the hand. And he said, "I would have left you alive, but you killed the sons of my mother, my brethren, at Mount Tabor." And that word never came up in his story before. I Googled it, and it turned out that was Judges 4 and 5. That was the battle of 900 chariots of iron. Deborah, Barak, Heber, Jehal. These are famous characters for most people who ever read these things. And that started the first part of the story. One word did the first 7 chapters. And it's the first Trojan horse scenario taken from the Bible.
So if you had to choose, what would you say is the single most important idea you're sharing in your book that's really going to add value to the reader's life?
In chapter 1, each part has a takeaway to it, but the one I like the best is traveling by faith and not by bread is one. And the second one would be to see the end from the beginning. See the conclusion before you start the task. And it makes a roadmap. It keeps you on task and on target. I was real excited. And when I read that and I came to that concept, that's what kept me on task and on target. So it goes from the 900 chariots of iron, and the 5th part is David. I got Goliath out of retirement. He was a major pain in the butt, too, to get him out of there. But I got David and Goliath at the end, and Barak, Gideon, Abimelech, his half-breed son that kills his 70 brothers, a congress of judges, to become the first king of Israel.
Now, if you could compare your book with any book out there we might already be familiar with, which book would it be and why?
As a book, I would say I got one review from a friend of mine, which I was really shocked. This guy was real critical about everything. He's a writer. So when I gave him the book to read, I said, oh, he's going to tear me up. His review was great. He said he finished it up at 2 o'clock in the morning, and his first thought was to pick it up and read it again, and it read like a Harry Potter novel. So that's not my words. I didn't see Harry Potter. I'm not a big Harry Potter fan. The fellow's name is Damon. He does a lot of work. I see our style similar, but the storyline, of course, is different. There's really not too much out there with this kind of storyline that's revelatory. You find fairly well the same stuff being regurgitated over and over again. This is new. Right from the beginning of the book to the end of the book, it's new stuff. Just a lot of new things that have connected up. Nothing's changed. I mean, the conclusions stay the same. It was the drama between point A and point B that's going to put life's experiences into there, where the reader is going to pick that up and can relate to it in a way they've never been able to relate to that section of scripture before.
What was your ultimate goal in writing this book?
To bring people to the Bible. I think we're living in an age right now, I heard one spokesman say, this was the end of the age of Christianity. And I could see such a force out there, a negative force, a negative morality being forced. And I think this was my attempt to bring people back to center. The morality found in the scriptures, the peace, the confidence, the comfort that comes from this work is being diminished by social media, by politics. We live in a really hard age right now. People are all self-involved. It's all about themselves. It's not about helping the next guy or what they can find. So that's why I made the work. I said, okay, take a look at this. See, this problem's been around forever. It's just gotten worse. And here's the solution. This is an answer. People are always looking for answers, especially during hard times. And here's an answer.
What were some of the challenges you faced?
Well, I was going in uncharted territory. I'm going somewhere where no one had ever been before. Don, I'll tell you, it was like getting up every morning, going to the top of a mountain where no one had ever been before. And they used to wonder, when is this going to stop? And it never really has. It was really quite the gift. The Lord's been real good to me in writing this. And the only way you're going to know that is if you pick up that book and you start reading it. And as soon as you start reading it, you'll see what I'm talking about. But until you actually put it in your hand and start taking in the words and taking in the concepts, you won't know. There's 5 movie concepts in that one novel. You can make 5 movies out of that novel with no problem at all. That's how intense it is. 4 battles that no one's ever seen before. There's like 14 battles in it. But 4 of them have never been seen. They've been alluded to, and some were like puzzle pieces to put together. The whole Judges was prehistorical, meaning that it was before it was written down. First Samuel starts with written history. But Judges were a compilation of the verbal tradition pieced together, piecemeal. And so it was exciting and challenging. And one of the only ways I was able to do that was because of Google. I say this, 1,000 years hence, the anthropologist will conclude as a society, we all commune with an all-knowing oracle named Google. This book couldn't have been done without Google. There was no way. The amount of information that's available now had never been available before in mankind. And because of that access to information, I took a little here and a little there, a line upon line and precept upon precept, and was able to tie these concepts and ideas together, and that's what made it revelatory.
What's been your most rewarding experience since publishing your book?
I think the acclaim to some degree of people who've read it, and then they'll tell me that as they were reading it, they went to the Bible to see what the Bible had to say about it. And that was my goal, to do that. And of course, it's always like, I'm like everybody else. I'm just a regular Joe. It's nice to, there's nothing so common as the wish to be remarkable.
So based on your experience as a writer, what's the one recommendation you would make to authors just starting out?
Learning and practice. If you say you're a writer, you have to write. You don't have to be published. No one has to read it, but you have to write. You have to write regularly. And the more you write, the better you're going to get. Go to the writing conferences. Pick up books on writing. Learn your craft. A lot of people are out there, especially because of the baby boomers, right? People are getting old. Everyone wants to leave a legacy. That's why all these books are out there right now. People are going out there throwing books out. And there's one class that you don't even write the book. You speak it into your computer. And then you have someone edit it. And they're good at marketing. And people buy it. And I said, you know, I couldn't do that. But if you're an aspiring author, learn your craft and practice.
In your opinion, who should buy your book?
Any seekers of knowledge, anyone who wants to learn something that they've never seen before. People who are interested in battles, 14 battles, four have never been seen. It's a love story. Anybody who's interested in a love story, Gideon's love child, Edruma was his concubine, couldn't marry her because she wasn't from Israel. The battles, though, are really ferocious. David's battles, Gideon's battles are unbelievable. But the 900 chariots of iron, they're battles. So if you like a battle and you like a good story, the human interest, anybody who likes to see what people did then is exactly the way we would do things now. Things haven't changed in 6,000 years. People are always the same. It's always the same conflict. It's always the same emotions. It's always about ego, power, control, domination.
Do you have a website?
I have an addiction recovery website. That was my other end of it. But for the book, I didn't do a website. I have a landing page on Facebook, and it's under Gideon's Glory. If you type in Gideon's Glory at Facebook, it'll take you to the landing page.
Could you spell your name for us, please?
Sure. It's G as in George, A as in Apple, N as in Nancy, C as in Charles, I as in Ina. Gansey. It's Italian derivative. It means Italian. Isn't that funny? I did one of those ancestry deals to see what Gansey meant, and it came back, it means Italian.
Well, this has been just great. Our guest today has been Joseph Gansey, and he is the author of Gideon, The Sound and the Glory. Joseph, thanks very much for being with us today.
Well, thank you, Don. It's been fun.
This is Don McCauley wrapping up another edition of The Author Show. Listen to some of your favorite authors every day 24/7 by visiting theauthorshow.com. Just click on the book title and the player at the top of the page. These interviews are available to book buyers worldwide on demand. If you'd like to be a guest on the show and feel you could benefit by getting in front of your target audience with a high-quality media interview that'll make a real impact, visit theauthorshow.com, fill out the form, and we may be contacting you shortly. You can also visit our audio bookstore at theaudiobookmarket.com. Join us here next time for another great book and another exciting author on The Author Show.
Thanks for listening to The Author Show. Find out more about authors and their work at theauthorshow.com. Theauthorshow.com. Tune in next time to another great author on The Author Show.